Marianne Cabo, Shannon Bischoff, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Now, the world's indigenous or native languages are disappearing, and with it, the cultures represented there. Just how endangered are they becoming?
Well, we're losing about one language every 2 weeks, and by the end of the century, we anticipate that the majority of them will be gone.
And why is this threat to the world's cultural and linguistic diversity so critical?
Well, languages die all the time, but these are unnatural. And so what this means is we lose the knowledge that is embedded in those languages. So, for example, communities know about all the plants, the flora, the fauna, and pharmaceutical companies are looking for cures to cancers and places like that. And that knowledge is locked in the languages. So when we lose the language, we lose that kind of knowledge that could benefit all mankind.
We also lose the potential relationships that emerge because if you can communicate that language, for example, in the home, if a grandchild can't communicate with their grandparent anymore, the connection is lost ultimately.
So it goes from the globe to the home mm-hmm. and then radiates back, or lack of radiation,
yes.
back out into the community. That certainly is critical. This issue actually begat UNESCO's International Year of Indigenous Languages, which in turn begat the 2019 Perspectives Conference at Purdue-Fort Wayne on it. So who was there and why did they gather?
So we had the UNESCO Steering Committee, the steering committee that was responsible for organizing the year. We also had the diplomat from the UN that created the resolution that led to the International Year. We had a number of indigenous folks, including several that were MacArthur Genius Grant recipients, as well as local community members, high school students, and university participants, as well as a group from the community downtown.
Really a little sampling from every part of the world, and that's the point of all of this.
Yes, and that's why the conference was called Perspectives, because we wanted to draw everyone's perspectives together in one place.
And with that kind of dedicated group at its core and for that time span, what went on?
Well, we had over 400 participants from around the globe, people from every continent, except for Antarctica, of course. And it was an opportunity for people to engage in meaningful discussion about the issues related to endangered languages, whether it be the policymakers from the UN, human rights attorneys, or the actual indigenous community members who are being most affected.
Again, that's impressive. And what was the biggest takeaway you got from such an intense conference?
You know, we can talk about the policy takeaways and some of the academic takeaways, but I think what really touched me the most was how we had so many people from all over the world come to Fort Wayne for the first time, and they all said, we feel like we're at home here. And
wow.
So to me, I think that was the greatest success of this conference, was introducing Fort Wayne to the rest of the world.
One of the diplomats from Peru, who had just organized a similar conference in South America, mentioned that the coming together of all these folks was a very spiritual event, that it was an event that really got to the hearts of all those involved. And that was really important to all of us, because that gets lost in drafting UN resolutions.
And people are at the base of all of this, and their mm-hmm. emotions and feelings. And of course, that's what cultures are made of, and generations can carry it on. If at least half of the 7,000 languages are endangered, and we are losing them at that alarming rate about every 2 weeks, is it too late?
No, not at all. It's not too late. This conference was a celebration of all the good things that were happening, and left the conference with a lot of confidence and hope, because they saw that they were not alone in their individual successes, and that actually there's a great deal of success happening around the world. Even right here in Fort Wayne, oddly enough, Fort Wayne is an exemplar of what is working in this area.
Why is that?
I think because we are very community-based, and we have those core values that permeate throughout our community here, which is family and making sure that we stick together. And so, for example, the Burmese community, who are doing a lot to preserve their culture and languages, they have a Saturday school where the younger generation learn from the older generation about their values, about their languages, and what it was like for their parents growing up in Burma and then moving to Fort Wayne. So there are a lot of wonderful things that our community members are doing that are inspiring other people from other parts of the globe.
And that can actually be carried on formally, as it were, to take it to the rest of the world.
That's right. Mary and I are supposed to go to Paris in the spring to bring some proposals of what can happen, because there's going to be a decade of indigenous languages. The Miamia, or the Miami, the indigenous peoples that were here when Europeans arrived, they've also revitalized their language, which hadn't been spoken for 50 to 100 years. And again, as Mary mentioned, in the home, in families, that language has been brought back to life. And it's an example around the world of how these languages can reawaken and be part of our world again. It's very exciting.
And interestingly enough, you're going to Paris, and French is one of the languages in the top contendas, I
yes.
believe, here lately. But just so, if we've got a world that's looking for one life and one heart and one way to communicate, how is it going to be possible to respect and actually encourage people to remember the old ways?
Well, the world is a multilingual place. Fort Wayne is an exciting multilingual city. That's the norm in the world. So I don't think there will ever be one language. And we don't want one language. One of the tragedies of losing languages is that we lose ways of being human. And so I think that old ways won't be lost as long as people are free to speak their languages in their communities and they're encouraged to do so. That's the simplest solution. Let people speak their languages and encourage them to do it.
And I think it's important for people to realize that their languages are valued. And that's one of the main points that we really wanted to share through this conference is that their languages are valued and they're loved in that sense. Even if other people or the major languages are dominating the field, all of their languages are just as precious.
Fantastic point. And meanwhile, Purdue Fort Wayne's Indigenous and Minority Languages Center is highly regarded world round, as a matter of fact. What can and do you work on in the non-conference years, especially those lying ahead of us?
So we've done some very interesting research with our colleagues in the Burmese community or Miramar community here in Fort Wayne, looking at the relationship between heritage language, indigenous language, and well-being. Students that know their home language do better academically, are healthier. We've also had the first Miami day camps. Now they have regular programming in their languages and education in their language, but that began here with our colleague, Dr. Chad Thompson, who brought them to our campus and they started working with the youth. So those are some of the exciting things we've done in the past
that
and continue
exciting.
To do. It's great.
So what would you say is the biggest challenge in this 21st century to the languages and the cultures of the world?
I think in some ways, the challenge is also the potential solution. So one of the examples I'm thinking about is how in certain communities, thinking about in the Philippines, one of the problems that they see is children are losing their mother tongue or their home language because of social media, because they're only exposed to the dominant languages. And at the same time, if we think about how we might use things like social media to promote their home languages, then the problem does become a potential solution as
Indeed.
Well.
Indeed. Pop culture, counterculture, no culture at all. I'm not going to even ask which the biggest enemy is here, but you're sort of saying turning the tables and getting everybody involved or maybe making one's heritage pop.
Mm-hmm.
And that is happening. There are a number of indigenous communities in the United States that use social media to communicate in their languages. We had poets that were reading poetry in their indigenous languages, but there's all kinds of musicians. We premiered two films in partnership with the Smithsonian Institution and the United Nations that were both directed, starred, written by, and in the indigenous languages. So absolutely, the popular culture is not an enemy. It's actually a great resource that a lot of communities are turning to.
I think we can't underestimate the power of the arts and just making people see the beauty of different kinds of languages and what knowledge and wisdom can be gained. But we have to do that and inspire people through different art forms.
So what would you say to those who really don't see why this all is a big deal, the loss of the languages and the loss of the cultures?
I would say, imagine you're the last speaker of a language. How would you feel if you and your family were the only ones that spoke that language and you had to leave your home every day and you couldn't use it? Try it. Try to go a day without speaking. And I think you'll know how these people feel. And if you're a compassionate person, I think that's enough.
That kind of says it all. And I hope that it will make people stop and think. Now, meanwhile, our own city's cultural diversity is impressive. Officially, there's over 70 languages spoken here. How does that fit into the national and global profile? And in fact, it's good, but how can we make it better?
I think to start is making everyone aware that multilingualism is the norm, that it's not unusual for people to speak multiple languages and that it's not really a threat. In fact, we are able to understand the world from different angles because we're able to communicate in different languages. So I would say that Fort Wayne should really treasure this resource and also the people who speak multiple languages and be their friends, essentially.
I don't mean to be crass, but I'm going to talk about money. Utah right now is the fastest and longest growing economy in the U.S. Why is that? Because of the multilingualism in Utah. In fact, the government is spreading language education into the public schools at earlier ages because they realize that we are a global world and multilingualism is the norm. We all have relatives from the past that spoke different languages. We have relatives that speak different languages. And we are a rich, linguistically diverse community. And that is a huge resource when it comes to our economy. But really, when you hear someone speak a language, let them know how wonderful it sounds. Don't be threatened by that. let people celebrate their languages, listen to languages in public, and you should feel like, I would say that listeners should really think of themselves as part of the global community when they hear someone speaking Spanish or when they hear someone speaking French or Hmong or Malamiay. They should be proud of their community, that it is part of the global community in that kind of way. It's really, really good for us.
This has been such an enlightening talk on really a critical, but it sounds like problem that can be solved. So one last question before you go. From your hearts, as well as your academic platforms, what one simple thing can every one of us do to preserve languages and the cultures they represent for generations to come?
Love your neighbor, right? Keep it simple. Let the people around you be who they are. Respect the diversity, embrace it, and celebrate it. And that includes listening to people speak different languages in public space, encouraging children to learn their languages of their home. Let them know that that's a beautiful, wonderful thing, and it's going to help them in their lives, their emotional life, their spiritual life, their cognitive life, and their educational lives. Just be kind and respectful, and that will go miles.
I think I'll just add, it starts with saying hello to somebody and ideally in their own mother tongue or their own language. So I'm going to speak my mother tongue. If somebody were to say hello to me, I would say kumusta na, and then start a conversation from there.
Mary Ancabo and Shannon Bischoff are faculty in Purdue-Fort Wayne's Department of English and Linguistics. Mary, Shannon, thank you so much for sharing this important message with us in the beautiful way you just have. Good luck on this journey.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was an arts and culture interview by WBOI's Julia Meek. You can find more of Julia's arts-driven reporting at WBOI.org and on the WBOI Facebook page.